This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Here at home, this election has gotten unprecedented media attention, but people around the globe have also tuned in to watch the race's outcome. In a minute, we'll talk to NPR's Alex Chadwick in Los Angeles and Cheryl Corley in Chicago, but first we'll turn to some international reaction to yesterday's historic election. Huge crowds gathered around big-screen TVs in the streets of Nairobi to watch the returns come in. And there are a lot of sleep-deprived Kenyans today. Joining us now is former NPR reporter Rachel Jones from Nairobi. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm giddy, a little tired, but it's great to be talking with you.
Now, I was hearing last night on NPR that it is actually a holiday in Kenya. Is it a holiday? Time off over here, if so.
Yes, it will be tomorrow. The president has declared Thursday a holiday in Nairobi because of the election, so everyone's pretty excited about that.
Wow. That sounds pretty extraordinary, having one nation's leader declare a national holiday in honor of the election of a foreign president.
Well, for me, having the insight of having been here and spent the past 4 months living here, in another sense, it's not, because of the enormous connection and ownership and pride that Kenyans feel about Obama. Even with all of the drama of the past year with the post-election violence and the tribal differences, I think everyone has been able to rally around his connection to Kenya, and therefore they've taken ownership of it.
Give me a couple of examples of things that you've seen, maybe souvenir items or newspaper headlines that just stuck with you.
Well, there have been some pretty impressive newspaper plot sections with both the Daily Nation and the two major newspapers, the Standard and the Daily Nation. You see just crowds of people standing around newsstands. This morning in particular, it was astonishing, really. Mostly men, but standing around the newsstands, thumbing through the newspapers, and everywhere you walk or everywhere you hear the word Obama spoken multiple times. It's a sort of a chant, really, and it's really... I think in Nairobi, in the central business district, everything is so busy and hustle bustle anyway, so it's not as if there's a lot of unusual activity. But there is, you do hear the name Obama spoken quite frequently.
Now, realistically speaking, have you talked to anyone who questions whether an Obama presidency will in fact affect their lives in Kenya?
I have these discussions just about every day. I think that as excited and happy as people are, many of them almost seek me out to sort of say, you know, as much as we might want this to mean something terrific for Kenya, the reality is that they realize that President-elect Obama will have so many challenges based in the U.S. that this is not necessarily going to mean a magic wand waved over Kenya or Africa even. But there's just the enormous pride of someone who is from us or looks somewhat like us. I think that will go a long way in healing a lot of rifts.
And on a final, maybe lighter note, we've done a lot of stories here at News and Notes about all of the graphic art around this election. What have you seen in terms of people painting on walls? Or I know sometimes people develop haircuts that they name after people. What's going on the visual art side?
You know, I haven't seen a lot of that type of thing. We do see signs, quite a few signs. There have been quite a few poster, billboard-type signs with his picture and his face. You do see his face on a lot of the passenger vans called matatus, and so you'll see 30 people crammed into a converted VW van, and there'll be four or five images of Obama along the side. So you see that quite frequently in the streets of Nairobi.
Rachel, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
That was former NPR reporter Rachel Jones speaking to us from Nairobi, Kenya. Now we'll turn to the reaction from London. Joining us now is Dotun Adebayo, a London-based broadcaster with the BBC. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Farai. Good to speak to you again.
Well, tell us a little bit about what London was like when folks heard the announcement. Did people even care?
Oh, yeah, we cared. Oh, yes, we cared. This has been amazing. The last 18 hours or so in London has just been surreal. I was invited to the place to be, Operation Black Vote here, which is an organization that tries to, you know, encourage voting or increase voting amongst the black and ethnic communities here, had a big do. And I'll tell you, everybody was there. The Deputy Prime Minister, Harriet Harman, was there. It was amazing. There were about five or six cabinet ministers, all the members of the government that were leading black politicians were there. Baroness Scotland was there, David Lammy, former cultural minister, and friend of Barack Obama, of course, because he was at Harvard, I believe, with Barack Obama for a while. He was there. You know, there were so many people. And the Deputy Prime Minister of Britain said, look, we never thought we'd live to see this in our lifetimes. Let's hope we get to see a black Britain prime minister within our lifetimes. That was amazing. She said that on stage. As we were watching the election roll out, the BBC coverage on big screens, every time that you know, the counter went up, increased the number of states or electoral colleges that Barack Obama went, the people were just going wild. You know, I went home with two American flags around me, and I've never done that before in my life. We were very, very emotional, very proud. And the reaction has been from everybody. You know, former Mayor of London Ken Livingstone's advisor, Lee Jasper, was there, and he was saying to me that his son had said to him, if now that Barack Obama has become president, does that mean I can do anything? I can achieve anything? And that was his 10-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of impact it's had.
On a political level, when you look at the ripple effects that this could have, we're in incredibly tough straits across the globe. And I understand that there have been some signs that the government of the UK is actually quite excited about the prospect of working with President Obama once he is president. Do you think this will strengthen ties between the two nations?
Yeah, not just between. I mean, we've enjoyed the special relationship with America, as you know, for 60 years and more. But it's going to strengthen America's ties throughout the world. You saw the reaction to the election last night all over the world, from Japan to China to Australia to Africa to Asia to South America. People were dancing in the streets. That old Sam Cooke tune, A Change Is Gonna Come, was being echoed throughout the world. It's only the most powerful man in the world, the American president, that can engender that kind of reaction. You know, it's only America, which is so much a part of our cultural reference, that can engender that kind of response from people who don't have direct connections to the United States. But we know the significance of it, not just the significance, as John McCain would say, to the African American community. This is significant for everybody. It means, yes, we all can. We all can. You know, I've been quoting Barack Obama. I didn't even realize I could quote Barack Obama. Suddenly, I'm saying to people, look, you know, in that improbable dream that is America, you know, or whatever it was that he said. I'm sorry to misquote him on this important occasion, but, you know, it's an improbable story, but it's happened. Yes, we can. You know, I feel like singing R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Dotun, we're going to have to let you go so you can practice singing your inspirational moments for all the people at the party.
Thank you very much.
That was the very exuberant Dotun Adebayo, a London-based broadcaster with the BBC. And now we're going to go to our own backyard. Alex Chadwick hosts NPR's Day to Day. Right now he's broadcasting from one of the Magic Johnson Starbucks in Los Angeles. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Farai. Good to talk with you.
So this, you know, the Magic Johnson Starbucks is kind of like one of the epicenters of L.A.'s black community. It's where you go if you want to hear poetry or get a date. What's going on right now?
Yeah, well, Dotun can find some people to join him in song down here, I'll tell you, because this is in the Ladera Heights neighborhood here in L.A. It's a very comfortable, middle-class neighborhood. And this Starbucks is a real crossroads here. We've been here last week and this week. We're here yesterday, too. You see the same people here. It's just kind of a community hangout. It's where people come to talk to each other. And boy, are they talking now.
What are they saying?
Early. You know, people are talking. They're sharing these same kinds of stories, family stories. Who I talked to. I talked to my mom last night. My son called me and told me about this. And it's just like this one woman we talked to started off with saying, I heard from Dallas. I heard from St. Louis. I heard from here and there. And it's just you can see that this is a family event, and this is the family, you know?
Well, you've covered a lot of elections. How has this one been different?
I think a couple of things. One, and we heard this yesterday talking to people, certainly the people here, a sense of, could this really be? A sense of, I don't really want to let myself believe that this could be, because I don't want to be so disappointed and so crushed when, once again, I run into like the bad reality, the bad part of America. And so there was a lot of that. And now, to see that those dreams actually came true. I mean, people are they're just kind of dazed. So there's that sense of a kind of a confirmation of something. There's a sense, people keep talking to me about, I'm an American, I'm an American. So you hear these words again and again. I'm an American, and I'm going to talk to my kids, and I'm going to tell my kids, hey, you're an American. And there really is this kind of truth about the American dream revealed by all of us, I think, somewhat to the surprise of all of us. Could we really do this? We really did it. We really did it.
Well, that's a great place to end this. Alex, thank you so much for talking to us.
Farai, it's a pleasure to be with you on News and Notes.
That was Alex Chadwick, the host of NPR's Day to Day. And finally, as we wrap up our slate of reactions to the election results, we are turning to Chicago. Over a million people gathered there to celebrate with Barack Obama in and around Grant Park last night. We've got NPR's Cheryl Corley with us now in Chicago. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Farai.
So this is Obama's adopted hometown, a place where he made his name on so many different levels, community mm-hmm. organizer, then moving into the legislature. And, of course, his woman from the South Side, First Lady-elect Michelle Obama. Oh, my gosh.
I guess that's what he calls her, yes.
Yes, yes. So what was the mood? I mean, I saw the crowds on television, and I was like, well, first of all, it seems awfully difficult if you had to get to the bathroom, but that's a practical issue. But how was the mood of the crowd?
Oh, Farai, it was just euphoric. And, you know, there's been so much talk about this being a historic moment, and you could see it throughout the crowd, and people were crying, they were smiling, they were really listening and intently when President-elect Obama came on stage. But even before the first family was introduced, there was this guy doing the microphone check and, you know, 4-3-2-1, mic check for the next president of the United States. And the crowd just erupted with this roar. There was just such a sense of anticipation and just really plain old happiness.
Well, you spoke with a couple of people. One of them was a young voter, 22-year-old Joshua Rosales. Let's hear a little bit of what he had to say.
As a person of Hispanic origin, I think there's more possibility of him improving relations with Latin America, the Latino community, and in the specific issue, immigration. And I don't think it's only historical for the African American community, but this, I think, is going to open doors for everybody.
Chicago is one of those great American cities that has so many different communities. Do you get a sense that the bridges that he was talking about are ones that will last beyond the euphoria of the post-election week?
I think so. I mean, there's, you know, as you mentioned, Barack Obama started out as a community organizer here. And, you know, I think that there is a lot of those sorts of connections that go on in this very multicultural city. And that said, there's been a lot said about the pride that African Americans feel with this election of Barack Obama as the black president. And we've been hearing that throughout the show. But as Joshua said, there's enough of that really to spread around. And this was a hometown moment. So people were proud because Barack Obama is black. They were proud because he's from Illinois. And they were really proud because he's from Chicago.
Well, let's hear from another one of the voters that you spoke with in Grant Park. This is 52-year-old Lindsay Boyd.
It's phenomenal. It's one of those things that, as a black man, you never really are sure is going to happen. You know, up to this day, even though I felt like it was going to occur, I never wanted to claim it.
We just heard from Alex Chadwick, who's in Los Angeles, that a lot of people in Los Angeles that he spoke with were like that. What's going to happen until, you know, every last electoral prediction came in. Did you get any sense from any of the people there that they'd been on tenterhooks?
Yeah, I've been calling this tempered hope, you know, you know, and in some aspects it was really generational with people who were older, African-Americans in particular, who had either been part of or witnessed the struggles of the civil rights movement. And they just still weren't quite sure whether the nation would support a black man. And, you know, I think everybody was just so excited when they found out that the nation would do so and did so overwhelmingly.
People are talking now about whether Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. could go ahead and try to take the seat that's being given up by Senator Obama. What's the word in Chicago among people, or are they not even thinking that far ahead?
Well, no. This is a political town, you know. Everybody's thinking about what's shaking behind the scenes. And I actually saw Congressman Jackson as he was leaving one area I was coming in, and so I got to ask him about that. And, you know, he's one of those who is in contention, so we think. And it's definitely something that I think he wants. And he says he would take it if it was offered. Of course, it's a decision that's going to be made by the governor of Illinois, Rob Blagojevich. So we'll see what happens with that. But there are a lot of names that are in the hopper, and Congressman Jackson is one of those names.
Great to know. Thank you, Cheryl.
You're quite welcome.
That was NPR's Cheryl Corley reporting from Chicago.